Thank you. I think I'll let you be seated because, once again, we're going to be reading a whole chapter here from Genesis. You just can't read a few verses and get the whole story here of the life of Joseph. And this is just one part of it. Chapter 39. Genesis 39. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself about anything except the food which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said to him, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her, or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, she called the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to make sport of us. He came into me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came into me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Father, once again, we thank you for your word, and we do pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge of you in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. How does a 17-year-old boy from a wealthy family who has been kidnapped, sold as a slave, then eventually charged with a crime that he never committed, framed, thrown in jail, and go through all of this for about 13 years, how does he survive? How did Joseph survive all this? Kind of put yourself in his place if you can. What would you do? Where would you turn? Somehow, Joseph kept his hope alive. What about those dreams? Did they have any part in it? The dreams that he told to his brothers that made them so angry that they finally did try to kill him and then decided to sell him? Did those dreams have anything to do with this? I think they did. I think God was preparing him for that even then. You know, God is that way. God knows how to prepare us for whatever it is we're going to go through. Now, I don't know, you know, what tomorrow's going to bring or the next day or the next week, and you don't either. But you can be sure of this. God will prepare you for it. He'll have you ready for it if you trust in him. I'm sure there were times when Joseph was tempted to say, well, maybe those dreams were just something that happened and they probably didn't mean anything at all. You know, I'm sure the devil didn't leave him alone either. Especially when he found himself in that prison. I mean, he was expecting things to get better. Instead, they go from bad to worse. And that prison he was thrown into was no ordinary prison. And again, I think God kind of ordained that too. Of course he did. This was the king. See, the king had his own prison. And that's where he put those where he wanted to get rid of. That's where he would send those that he didn't like. And they didn't need a trial to go there. Just the king's whim or wishes. And apparently Potiphar did the same thing. He didn't need a trial. He just sent him there. But actually, it could have been worse. Joseph could have been executed for that crime. That was the more common punishment for that in those days. In spite of all this, because Joseph remembered who he was. He never forgot. He was not an Egyptian. He knew that. He knew that he was one of God's chosen people. And he remembered that. And he lived accordingly. He lived up to that expectation that should be there for that kind of a person. You see all the lessons we can learn from this? If we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we are no ordinary person. We are saved. We are redeemed. We are one of God's precious children, and he's going to look after us. And then we need to live up to that. Remember who you are. Remember, you belong to Jesus. When you're out there in the world and you know what they can throw at you. And you know how there are no standards out there anymore, it seems. It just gets lower and lower and lower. But not for us. Because we belong to Jesus. We are his. Joseph remembered who he was. In verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph knew that. When he left the land of Israel and ended up down there in Egypt, he didn't leave God behind. He knew that God was right there with him. And he never forgot that. I'm sure there were times when there were doubts that would creep into his mind. As far as we know, I don't think there was ever a time in Joseph's life where God literally appeared to him as he did in the life of Jacob, his dad, or his grandfather Abraham, you know, where the Lord himself appeared to him. But the Lord was with him. And he knew it. And he remembered it. And he didn't have Romans 8:28 then. But he had that truth. All things do work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And Joseph knew he was one of those. And here's something else we can take note of. How did he behave? How did he do his work? I mean, a servant, a slave, aren't they the ones that have to be beaten to get any work out of them at all? Aren't they the ones who do only what they absolutely have to and get away with as little as possible? Not if you are, first of all, a servant of Jesus. This was, again, an example that he set here was such that his testimony was obvious. In verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was good with him. He could tell it. He could look at him and he could see that this man is not just serving me, he's serving his God. He worked as though he were working for the Lord and not for his master. And isn't that what we have in Colossians 3:23? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Hey, kids, sometimes those chores that mom and dad give us aren't necessarily so fun, are they? I know you love your parents and you want to do your best for them, but you know, there is even a higher purpose here. There may be times when you don't want to do it for your parents, but then how about doing it for the Lord? Or if we're working for a boss, a cantankerous old grouch that sits in his office and makes you do what you think is ridiculous, you don't have to work for him. Work for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as though you're doing it for the Lord himself. After all, he's the one who gives the promotions. That's where the raises come from. Joseph understood that. David expressed it in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. He said, both riches and honor come from you, Lord. He understood that. These are some of the ways that Joseph survived. This is how he made it through. You know, I was studying this, I got to wondering, does God really prosper those that we work for? He might. I think he does. If we do it and do our work as to the Lord, they're going to see it. What a wonderful way to let your light shine so they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Something else. Joseph never abandoned his godliness. You know, it's kind of interesting. Joseph refused here to commit adultery, but he didn't have the sixth commandment yet. That came about 400 years or more after this. But he knew sin when he saw it. You see, God has made us a little bit different than the rest of his creation. The knowledge of good and evil is there. And we know right from wrong. In John, the first chapter, it says, when Jesus came into the world, he came in as the light of the world who enlightens every man, every person. God lets us know. There he has put that sense of right and wrong within us. We know what sin is, even if we didn't have the Ten Commandments. Adam and Eve knew it. They knew when they had sinned. They didn't have the sixth commandment yet. Cain knew it when he killed his brother. He didn't have the fifth commandment yet. But he knew it. Joseph knew this was wrong and he tried to avoid her. In verse 10 it says he tried to not even be with her. So he tried to avoid her. Apparently she was pretty crafty. Another secret. From what Joseph said, we understand he knew God was watching. He didn't avoid this just because he was afraid of getting caught. He would already have been caught because God is watching. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the good and the evil. Joseph was aware of that. And that's why he said, you know, he actually, the sin would have been against his master too, but he didn't say that. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God was watching, and God is watching. And finally, Joseph knew God, and he wanted to be at peace with God. What is it that destroys our peace? Sin. Sin is what comes between us and God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Lord's hand is not shorter that he can't save, and his ears are not dull so that he can't hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you so that he cannot hear. It's that sin. Joseph would not allow that. He kept his conscience clear. He sinned, I'm sure. You know, Joseph, he was human. And so there was sin in his life as well. But what did he do with it? He took it to the Lord, and he got forgiveness. When we do that, when we bring our sin to Jesus, it's gone. It's gone. He forgives. What he did on that cross paid for every sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Complete redemption. In Romans, it tells us how we too can have the kind of peace that apparently Joseph had here. Being justified by faith, that means by putting our faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. Because then we get rid of that sin. We get it out of our way completely. And that's what Jesus said before he left his disciples and went into heaven. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Joseph knew that. He walked with God. And Joseph had no idea what he was going to come up against, you know, in the years to come. But he was going to have a big job. And he had a human nature. And all this while, 13 long years, hard years, difficult years, years of doubt and struggle and trouble, those 13 long years were in preparation for Joseph to take over all of Egypt and become a savior from that famine for all the known world of that day. What do we learn from that? You might not like what you're going through. You might not understand exactly what God's doing. How many times, you know, have things gone wrong and you've said, God, why? Well, God knows what lies ahead. He knows how to prepare us for that. So every day, everything we experience, God is carefully monitoring that. He is a loving Father who watches over us. He has redeemed us. Remember, he who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He paid the ultimate there on that cross. So now he's going to take care of us. He's going to make sure that we know he loves us. In just a little bit here, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And again, you don't have to be a member of this church to share with us in the Lord's Supper. But the Bible does warn that we examine ourselves and know that we aren't holding anything back, that we are right, that we are at peace with God. So if we are a child of God and we want to know that our sins are forgiven, this is for you. Before we do that, let's turn one more time to our hymnal, number 335. 335, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Shall we stand? 335.